Let us pray. Lord, open our ears to hear your word. Open our minds so that we can understand. And open up our hearts to receive your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To many, the story of Jacob wrestling is a well-known passage. And I've often thought about, what did this wrestling match look like? And it's a little bit odd that Jacob, all of a sudden, the story says from the Bible, just starts wrestling a man at night. But for some reason, Jacob believes that he has wrestled with God, because he names the place, a place where he has seen God and has lived. Now, as I thought about this story this week, I started to think about how I really don't know that much about wrestling. But all I do know is you don't want to get pinned down. When I was a kid, my only exposure to the sport of wrestling was the WWF, the Worldwide Wrestling Federation. Guys like Hulk Hogan, the Junkyard Dog, Randy Savage, Roddy Piper, the Ultimate Warrior, Andre the Giant, those guys were real wrestlers. But when I grew older, I realized that there was this other type of wrestling, one without all the costumes and the body slams from the top rope. And as a kid, I didn't really understand it, that had to be able to understand these two types of wrestling, this Olympic stuff that you see on TV. And as I was researching about wrestling this week, I read that there is a story of a university wrestling team that was going to wrestle the local state college team. And the coach got his team together and said, "Fellas, the state team has developed a hold called the double reverse. They take a man and they bend him once, and then they bend him twice, and then they turn him upside down until he can't move and his arms and legs are pinned down. Whatever you do, do not get in a double reverse. Do everything you can to get out of it." And all the wrestlers said, "Okay, coach, we'll watch for it." So the first five guys went to the mat, and sure enough, all five were defeated in the double reverse. And the coach went over to the final wrestler who was going to wrestle that day. And he said, "Son, if you get caught in that double reverse, we won't even place in this meet. Do whatever you can to not get caught in that double reverse." And the wrestler said, "Okay, coach, I'll do my very best." So the wrestler immediately went out to the mat, and within a few seconds, he was caught in the double reverse. Bent not once, but twice, turned upside down, pinned down. And the coach, he just groaned, and he just covered his eyes because he knew the match was lost. They weren't even going to place. But then all of a sudden, he heard a scream, and everyone began to shout and applaud. And for the first time in history, the infamous double reverse had been broken. He did it. And at the end of the match, the coach said, "What did you do?" And the wrestler said, "Well, he bent me over once, he bent me over twice, pinned down, I couldn't move." And he said, I know, but at what part did you break free? Because I looked away for a moment." The wrestler said, "Well, coach, I was going down and I remembered what you said. Do what you have to do. Whatever you have to do, get out of that double reverse. So I looked in front of me and there was this big toe right in front of my mouth. So I reached out there and I chomped down on that big toe right in front of my mouth. And you know what, coach? It's amazing how much motivation you can have to break free when you nearly bite your own toe off." I think there are times in life where we feel like we're wrestling with God and we've ended up in an impossible double reverse. And the only way we can get out of our wrestling match with God is to do something painful. Hopefully not biting our own toe off. There are things that happen to us that we feel like we are just wrestling with God. Things that go wrong, in our health, our employment, our family, our friends, our marriage, our life, and we just cry out to God, God, stop. It's just way too much to handle. And so we wrestle with God emotionally. In our prayer, in our anger, in our grief, in our loss, we wrestle. And if you heard my sermon last week, I introduced you to Jacob, the no good brother, son, and trickster who almost does everything wrong in life. And after falling asleep on a rock and dreaming about heaven, Jacob stops running from life. And now he enters into a wrestling match. In reality, Jacob, in his life story up until this point, he struggled with everyone in his life. He struggles with his brother, with his parents, his father-in-law, and now, literally, with God. And in this dramatic moment, Jacob finds himself, he's about to cross over, and he's about to confront his brother Esau after leaving him behind, after many years betraying his brother. But first, he must confront God. And this person is seen as either God or a representative of God or an angel, because Jacob believes that he has seen the face of God and survived. Some scholars even think it may have been Esau in disguise trying to get back at his younger brother for stealing his blessing. And for reasons we don't know, Jacob just starts wrestling with a man until daybreak. And the man says, let me go. And in typical Jacob fashion, he says, not until you bless me, not until I get something out of you that's going to benefit me. And oddly, the man gives Jacob a new name, Israel. You know what Israel means? It literally means to wrestle or struggle with God. Jacob wants to know the name of this mysterious wrestler, but instead Jacob receives a blessing and he names this place of this wrestling match Peniel. In this life, in the Christian life, at some point, if you have already found that in this life, you will wrestle with God. You'll lose a child, you'll lose a job, you'll have to end a relationship, face a problem, your life falls apart, and you wrestle with God because you think that something has happened that shouldn't happen. You wrestle with God because you know God can make everything better with just a wave of his finger. We are kind of pre-programmed in our culture to always be the best, to do the best. New York Times columnist David Brooks describes this nature in our culture as the Achievatron in his book On Paradise Drive, that we have an Achievatron complex in our culture because we celebrate power and wealth and strength and confidence and prestige and victory. And beginning with children in their youth, through sports and through SATs and college admission and first jobs, we abhor failure, weakness, struggle, and doubt. And Brooks says because of the culture of Achievatron, we see these signs as weakness and failure, as lack of faith. But in reality, these things are just part of life that we have to deal with. I've shared with the congregation before that I've contracted Lyme disease not once, but twice in my short life. And when it happened a second time, God and I, we wrestled. I was at a previous church. My ministry was flourishing. The church was growing. My family was growing. Things were going well. And then I started to feel the symptoms, the aches, the pain, the headaches. And I knew what was happening. And things got bad when I woke up one morning and I was deaf in one ear. And the ringing wouldn't stop. I couldn't hear anything out of this side of my head. And I was freaking out. And that's when God and I, we wrestled. God, how can I be an effective listener, communicator, pastor, preacher, if I can't hear? Do you not want me to be in ministry anymore? I've spent over a decade of my life preparing to become a pastor. How am I going to do this now? Fortunately, because of treatment, I regained much of my hearing, and the ringing isn't as much as it used to be. But it was a scary thing for me. And much like Jacob, I felt that God had touched me and left a mark of vulnerability. Maybe that's what was so hard about the experience, that I was vulnerable. And I didn't like to be vulnerable. In reality, I don't think God wanted me to have Lyme disease, but it did happen. I don't think God made me to have it, but I still had to deal with it. We wrestle with God not because we don't like change, but we wrestle with God because we do not like loss. We don't like to lose stuff. We don't like to lose things in our life. We like to win. We like to achieve. We like to come out on top. This is why the struggle against God sometimes is real. Because God, He can put us back in that Achievatron mold. And we want that Achievatron right now, but we're not finding it. When I was a kid, my older sister always liked to wrestle with me because she knew she could beat me. She'd pin me down, and she made sure I knew who was boss in the family. And when I outgrew her, I was disappointed to learn that she didn't want to wrestle with me anymore. God isn't that older sibling who wants you to struggle, wrestle, and lose painfully and in humiliation. Rather, God is the gracious heavenly parent that knows that you will struggle because God struggled in the form of Christ on a cross. God is in the struggle. God struggles with you. We aren't promised a perfect life. Anything near that doesn't come close to anything we read in the Bible, but rather, we live in a flawed world where flawed things happen to us. And God wants to rework those flawed events. If you find yourself wrestling with God, struggling with God, it's not a bad thing. Wrestling with God is okay. In fact, when you wrestle, when you struggle with God, you're telling God that you take God very seriously because there's something wrong and you're struggling. You struggle in your prayers. You struggle in your thoughts. You plead for help. And God listens. But don't do it the way Jacob did it. Don't wrestle with God alone. It's painful and a lonely experience to do that. Because often it is in the quietness of loneliness that we dwell in unanswered questions too long, and it can crush us. In his book, Imagine Your Life Without Fear, Max Lucado gives some significant insight to this. He wrote, "Questions can make hermits out of us, driving us into hiding. Yet the cave has no answers. Christ distributes courage through community. He dissipates doubts through fellowship. He never deposits all knowledge in one person, but distributes pieces of the jigsaw puzzle to many. When you interlock your understanding with mine, we share our discoveries. When we mix, we mingle, we confess and pray, Christ speaks." I like the way Lucado puts that. When you struggle, when you wrestle in life, don't fool yourself that you can do it alone. But do it with someone you trust. A friend, church folks, counselor, pastor, a Stephen minister, a mentor. the type of people who can help you see where God is speaking a new purpose in the midst of your grappling and struggling. When we look at the Bible, we read that Moses wrestled with God about being God's mouthpiece. And God gave Moses Aaron. Jonah wrestled with God about his job as a prophet, found himself in the belly of a giant fish, and gave Jonah a second chance. Hannah wrestled with God about her inability to conceive, and God gave her Samuel. We read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, "And God has placed all things under his feet and appointed him, Christ, to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." If God fulfills everything in every way, he can fulfill you in your struggle. The only way I came out of wrestling and struggling with Lyme disease and God is that I realize now that in the midst of that, I had a new purpose: to be vulnerable and to live in that vulnerability and accept that it's okay. You can't always be a Superman or a Superwoman. But being vulnerable for me gave a deeper connection to life and to others. That you can't control everything. And that gave me a freer way to live. That being vulnerable for me was being in touch with my weakness to put down my Achievatron. That there can be a new purpose in post-Lyme disease life. And I think that's what Jacob realized, that he, in the midst of his struggle wrestling, he had a new purpose. Out of wrestling with God, he had a new identity, Israel. Jacob was now ready to embrace a new purpose that God had in store for him, a new blessing, a new way of living. When you wrestle with God through tragedy, through illness, suffering, and disappointment, the only way you can walk away from it and find blessing is this: to realize that God can use such things to repurpose you, to repurpose your life, repurpose your struggle, repurpose your suffering for something else. So go ahead. Wrestle with God. Maybe not with the costumes and jumping off the top rope, but don't expect to win. Because when you wrestle with God, it isn't about losing or winning. There is no winner. There is no loser. There is only a new blessing that we can find, to find new purpose, new calling, a new way of living. Let us pray. God, it could be so hard to be able to deal with the stuff of life. We struggle, we wrestle. We struggle, we wrestle with others. We struggle, we wrestle with you. But God, help us to see that you are not punishing us. Those ways of dealing with humanity are over. Christ fulfilled all things. But God, help us to see that we live in a flawed world where we are not always in control. And that, Lord, for us to begin to see that when we face struggle or illness or tragedy, that is an opportunity for us to start a new chapter. Give us patience, give us grace to be able to see that when we wrestle, when we struggle, like Jacob, that we are formed and fitted for something new. Lord, we ask that you can bring that something new to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.